You're listening to New Mexico Filmworks on Talk 1260 KTRC with your host, Dirk Norris.
You're listening to New Mexico Filmworks on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio, brought to you by Hutton Broadcasting. New Mexico Filmworks is a program of the New Mexico State Film Office, and I'm your host, Dirk Norris. A little bit later, we're going to have Dustin Sweet from Taos in the studio with us. But first, we have Dan Mathis and Morgan Estelle. Dan and Morgan started in the arts as illustrators and photographers, respectively. They began working together in 2008 on an independent film. After realizing the potential of the medium, they formed Black Shepherd Studios and began creating their own work. Dan's the co-creator and director, and Morgan is the cinematographer of the recently completed web series Flock, made right here in New Mexico. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And Morgan, I think I butchered your name again. I'm sorry.
That's right. That's right. And nobody can get it right.
So. Okay. All right. So can you, each of you, give us just a little bit more background? How long have you been in Albuquerque? And, well, just let's start with that. How long have you been in Albuquerque, and how did you get into the business?
I've been here my whole life, lived here ever since I was born, so. I began in photography when I was about 18 and then ended up realizing that cinematography was not that far away from photography and was a lot more challenging, and I found it a lot more interesting because of that.
And I moved back to New Mexico in 2000. I'm an Army brat. When my dad retired, we moved here, and I've been doing illustration and comic book type stuff for a long time since I was a little kid. And through Morgan, we got attached to a small independent movie and then kind of just went from there and just decided we're going to do this ourselves and make our own stuff as well.
Right. Do either of you have formal training in film?
Nope. No, neither of us went to film school.
Yeah, terrific. and so what have you done besides Flock?
We started off with a short film called Out of Reach that was our own thing. And then we, as far as our stuff goes, we went straight into Flock. We've done a handful of music videos, and we've worked with, other productions on a few, independent features.
And is this through Black Shepherd Productions, or do you have other production companies?
Black Shepherd Productions are our primary, our production company, the stuff we do. Right. Comes out of that, and then we've worked with other people's productions,
right,
as camera operators, cinematographers, things like that.
Right. Do you have your own equipment, or is it something you rent or borrow, or how does that work?
We own everything that we shoot with.
That's great, because that's not always the case with everybody in Albuquerque.
Yeah. My thing is always, why rent when you can buy and have it forever?
Yeah. Sure. And we'll get to Flock in just a minute, but I wanted to ask you, the 48-hour film challenge is coming up. Are you guys participating in that?
Actually, we are. I guess you could call this our first actual year. We did it in 2008 with another group and haven't done it since. And we just decided that instead of sitting on the sidelines, we'd give it a shot this year. So we did register.
Terrific. And it's become such a huge thing. I think they have over 30 crews registered for this year's event.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's looking like there's a lot of people that are going to be doing it this year.
Yeah, I can only imagine what Albuquerque is going to look like with all these film crews running around.
That's a film apocalypse. That's what we're wondering is, how many film crews are we going to bump into trying to shoot ours? But it'll be fun.
Yeah, right. And I was curious. Somebody brought up, was wondering if anybody is doing a behind the scenes filming. Like maybe following one of the crews around and seeing all the work that goes into this challenge.
Well, I know that Liz normally stops by everybody's team, every team set at least sometime during the process, to get some behind the scenes. And I know a lot of the teams, depending on how much, time or people they have, will have their own behind the scenes person. So it's hard to say. I know that you end up seeing a lot of behind the scenes stuff later on after the fact. So,
Yeah, yeah. And that's going to be the 13th through the 15th coming up real soon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not too far away for, yeah.
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 And 48 hours of no sleep and hair pulling and everything.
Yay.
Yeah. all right, well, let's talk a little bit about Flock. Where did the idea come from, and how did you come up, how did you create this whole thing?
Well, I'll start by talking about how we decided to even do a web series. We did a short film called Out of Reach, and the lead actress, Alexandra Boylan, she was just on us about, let's make something else. And so we started talking about just general ideas of what we could do next. And she mentioned web series. And in retrospect, I wonder why I said okay. But
right.
We said, that sounds great. And so we all just sat down as a group and started hashing out ideas. And we had some very specific goals in mind as far as we wanted to make something that felt like a television show on the internet as opposed to a web show on the internet. So we wanted it to feel more, I guess, cinematic. We wanted it to play as more of a character drama. So with those rules in mind, and then the big rule of let's not worry about budget until we have something to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Let us just write for what was good for the circumstances. So we didn't worry about, you know, locations or number of actors or, you know, if we needed a monster truck to jump over a building for the script, we would have figured out a way to do it.
Right, right.
So it didn't limit us, which was nice. And the idea just came from a lot of us sitting around and brainstorming and shooting ideas off each other, and it just grew and grew and grew until we had a final script to shoot.
How did you go about attaining the TV-like feel about it rather than a webisode kind of feel?
Well, the beginning thing was making sure that it had a giant story arc throughout the entire season instead of just, you know, individual episodes. And then it was just me trying to figure out what all we had to work with. So I ended up, right before we started shooting, buying some lights who would actually be able to light the characters. And mm-hmm. that's when all of my gear buying obsessiveness started to kick in.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because I was forced to, because I was like, man, we need more gear and I want this to be done right. So I guess I'm going to go ahead and buy this stuff.
Right. Well, yeah, it's a wonder when you have the right tools to work with.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. I can't stress that enough to other filmmakers.
Yeah, right. So how many people work on the script? Is it a collaborative thing? Does everybody kind of participate?
There were four of us, four main writers, and we would generally discuss the entire arc together, and then we would break down what needs to happen per episode together, and then we would kind of divvy out the episodes between the four of us, and then we reconvene and then, you know, hash out details once everybody came back with their part of the script.
Right. How many in the crew? Can you give a nod to everybody?
Sure. Let's see. There's myself and Morgan, the other co-writer, Catherine Doty, Malik Daniels, and who else? Jedge or Justin James, those were the writers.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get into what else they did. Jedge was also one of the executive producers. Catherine was a set designer and makeup and all that stuff. And then, of course, I directed. And then we had Jarell Morales, who is my editor and sound, and Tyler Brown, who is my other camera guy. And we had such a small crew, it's hard to remember if there was anybody else.
Who are your actors?
And actors we had, that was the other thing about when you ask about making it as cinematic as possible. We got really lucky with a lot of people, local actors that kind of believed in the material and came out and worked for us. And just amazing performances from everybody. Our leads are Alexandra Boylan and Dean Strober, and Maggie Maddock. She was our only out-of-towner. She's from Denver? Denver.
Uh-huh.
Denver, Colorado.
And then we had the ever-present Matt Page. And let's see. I stuck my other executive producer, Mark Farini, in it as one of the bad guys, who's not an actor, so he has no lines. So it worked out well. And then we have, what else we got?
The rest was pretty much just either friends or bit parts for an
episode. Yeah, Ryan Montaneri played a pretty big role in it. And then we just had a lot of people that came out for a day and shot a quick scene for us. It was really nice, and everyone was really understanding about our shooting schedule, which I think all said and done, it broke down to about 23 days, but it was 23 days spread over almost a year.
Oh boy, yeah. And it must be fun just being able to get your friends in there and give them an opportunity to kind of work along with everybody.
Yeah, it was fun. And it was, what I liked about it was bringing a lot of people from, you know, other independent film teams here in Albuquerque together, to work on something new. And that was really fun to be able to learn from other film teams and, you know, discover what we're capable of as well, all in the process.
Right. That's terrific. And something I wanted to touch on in our next segment. I appreciate both you, Dan and Morgan, being with us. You're listening to Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. I'm your host, Dirk Norris, and we'll be right back. Back, and you're listening to New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. My guests are Dan Mathis and Morgan Estel. I'm sorry. I put the agu on the wrong, the emphasis on the wrong. They're both from Black Shepherd Productions, and welcome back.
Thanks.
We were talking the end of our last segment about the participation of other folks in the film industry working with you guys, and they have their own projects going on. But it's a learning opportunity for you and for them as well. Is that right?
Oh, well, I don't want to speak for them because they're all really good at what they do. Uh-huh. I learn a lot from them.
Yeah. one of those people is Matt Page. I was just saying I'd seen his name around quite a bit. He seems to be pretty active in the film industry in Albuquerque and the state.
We've worked with him at this point countless times.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that everybody else can say the same thing. He's such a well-rounded person, plus secret for everyone. He has a lot of gear.
So, he's a halfway decent guy too.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
he's a great filmmaker. He's a great writer. He's an amazing actor. So he brings a lot to the table. And for me, knowing that he's a director and a writer as well as an actor, me working with him is easy because he kind of sees things from all sides instead of just from the actor's point of view. Mm. So he's really easy to work with and really fun guy to work with.
Let me ask you kind of a broader question about the film industry in New Mexico, and I imagine it's pretty collaborative all the way around, but how would you kind of define the film industry in New Mexico, if you could, as far as, being able to produce our own stuff here in New Mexico rather than bringing other stuff in?
Well, for me, I mean, we haven't really... been part of, you know, the $250 million super big Avengers Transformer
Ranger
stuff. We do independent. And realistically, in my opinion, for us, we're kind of at the beginning stages even of the independent market. Morgan and I have been lucky enough to work on quite a few independent feature films that have come through or that have started here. I think that the industry, if you want to call it that, for the independent filmmaker here is unique in that there's so many of us that it's almost like the, I feel like it's almost like the lottery. There's just too many of us and too much talent here for somebody to not break through to the quote unquote next level eventually. And I guess for me, it's always been an idea of community and collaboration sparks success across the board. When the few move to the top or the next level, bring us all with you type of a mentality, because we all are so connected and have done so much together that it's almost a no-brainer to say, I landed the $10 million budget. I don't need to call anybody outside of the state because I have everybody I could ever need to produce the best thing we could make right here.
Yeah, and I think once that happens, then there will be another and another and another, and we'll see the industry growing from within the state.
Right.
Okay, well, a little bit more about Flock, and can you just tell us what's the premise, what's the plot line, and how's it going so far? Did you film all the episodes before you started releasing them?
Correct. We actually shot the entire season as a single script. So we shot it more in the framing of like a feature. So we shot for location as opposed to episode.
Mm-hmm.
So before we released anything, we had everything already shot and ready to go.
Yeah, and that was partially due to budgetary reasons to keep our costs down. So we wouldn't need to keep coming back to the hotel time and time after again. So
sure.
Made it very efficient.
It also allowed us to stay on a release schedule, which is a big deal for us. We were able to release weekly for 12 weeks straight without fail because we had them all done and they're all ready to go.
Right. You don't make any promises that you can't keep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's why for us it was like, yeah, it's going to be a year and a half before anybody sees anything, but it'll be worth it because we'll be able to keep, like you said, the promises that we would set forth. As far as what Flock is about, Flock is about a guy named Paul and his wife Beverly, and he's a Bible school dropout turned con man, and they use their knowledge of religion to con people out of their money by offering them religious services that maybe they're too embarrassed to go to the church to get done. And that's the basic premise of Flock. They're on the run from some things that happened in their past that's catching up with them. And it's about how they deal with doing what they do while knowing that, you know, their past is catching up with them.
And is there any kind of moral quandary for them? Are they satisfied with what they're doing, or
well,
does it cause problems?
That's actually the crux of it all. It's about Paul trying to find a way out of the situation he's in, because he's come to realize that he isn't the person that he wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the people around him and how they affect that transition and that transformation.
Are people having fun making this series?
I had fun.
I had a blast, yeah.
So there's two people that had fun.
Well,
there's more than a couple also had fun.
Yeah, I think it kind of shows. I mean, with the people I've talked to that are doing these series, and there's, I don't know, seven or eight of them that are going on or have been produced in New Mexico, and it seems like just the passion for it carries people through, and you always have difficulties in any production, but just the passion that everybody shares makes it really fun for people, and I think it kind of shows.
Well, I've always thought, You have two options. You either have passion or $1 million.
Yeah.
And that's the way it goes. And that's what makes New Mexico filmmakers so interesting to me, is we're almost all of us are running on passion and passion alone. And for us to be producing the kind of stuff that's being made here with nothing is forever impressive to me.
We just have about 30 seconds left. Where can people find out about Flock?
Flock is at www.blip.tv/flock or blackshepherdproductions.com or flockseries.com.
Okay. And real quickly, do you consider it a success? And if so, how do you measure that?
As far as the filmmaker goes, I think it's a success. As far as people watching it, we've gotten nothing but positive reviews and a lot of open opportunities that are coming our way. So, yeah, I think it's been wildly successful.
And more than anything, it was a learning experience for all of us. We had a blast, so that made it worth it right there.
That's terrific. Listen, I really appreciate you guys being on the show this morning, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
All right. This is New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. I'm your host, Dirk Norris, and we'll be back with Dustin Sweet of Studio Pellegrosso from the web series Long Slide Back. We'll be back.
Wake up in the morning and I'll raise my weary head. I've got an old coat for a pillow and the earth was last night's bed.
We're back. I'm your host, Dirk Norris, and this is New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. You can hear this show streaming on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio by going to santafe.com and clicking on the live stream link. You can also hear this and previous shows on podcast by going to santafe.com and clicking on the podcast link. Right now I have Dustin Sweet in the studio with me. He came down from Taos, and he's with Studio Pellegrosso, which is an animation effects studio located in Taos. As an integrated media company, they specialize in cross-platform development of intellectual property. Video games, film, television, and the web are all becoming one, says creative director Dave Mansfield, your partner.
Indeed.
We focus on building a larger storyline so that audiences become more invested in the world as they are exposed to other mediums, encouraging them to explore and hopefully contribute to news stories as well. So welcome, Dustin. And you've got a webisode called Long Slide Back.
We do. We do. We shot it last year. The first week of July, actually.
And you had done other video stuff before getting into this webisode?
Yeah. We've done, Dave and I have had previous careers as animators, myself and all over the world, actually, and him in California. I met him in Denver at school. Mm-hmm. And then he went out to Cali, took a gig and went out to Cali, and I went to Scotland and did my postgraduate. A year of post-grad study in Scotland, and then a year in Boston, and then moved to the Bay, and was working in Oakland for, I don't know, 10 years, 8 years, something like that. Disney closed down a bunch of houses, and I decided that I wanted to see what was going on everywhere, and I vagabonded up the West Coast and went to Denver and hung out at my friend's wedding and stayed with my sister in Albuquerque for a little while and decided that Taos was the place for me, so I brought it back. And
terrific. What were you studying in school? Was it film or
animation? Full on animation. I went to the Art Institute of Seattle and learned 2D under some great guys who were ex-Disney and Hanna-Barbera. And then 3D was really coming on right then in 1998. And all my credits transferred over to the Art Institute of Colorado, and I studied 3D since. So.
Are you familiar with any of the animation programs going on in New Mexico?
I am. I think there's a really good program going on down the south at NMSU. I think it's really probably the best thing in the state, and it's pretty much comparable to everything else going on nationwide. I think it's a really good program, actually.
I think all the animators were a little disheartened when Sony decided to leave, and but hopefully there'll be other stuff coming along.
The whole film community needs in New Mexico, in my opinion, needs high level producers who are going to put the money down to take the risk. You know, I mean, the only thing we're missing here is that part of it. And until we get that part, we're kind of stuck being just production facilities. And you know, that's good and everything, but if we want to actually generate it as an industry, it's my belief that we're going to have to start making our own stuff and getting money that way, you know.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think there's a place for New Mexico to have a film industry and for it to grow from within the state. And I think you're right. It's going to take this this influx of money to kind of get it started. And there's, you know, it seems like there's little bits of things happening here and there. But with all the stuff that's going on, the film festivals that we have, the challenges like the 48-hour film challenge is coming up next week, which is really terrific. Are you involved in that at all?
No. I'm going to Seattle to shoot a short film, so I won't be here for that.
We were just talking earlier that I think Albuquerque is kind of going to be a madhouse. They have over 30 teams that have registered for this thing, and people are going to be running around trying to find equipment. I think.
Yeah, no, I participated with Louis Moya, who's up running the. Little piece of the UNM online program in Taos. Mm-hmm. We did the Southwest Digifest, 7-8 years ago, whenever that was running. We had a good run with that. But I haven't, let's see, the last 24-hour film fest I participated in was in San Francisco a couple years ago. Yeah.
It's a challenge. It's a lot of work.
It's a fun game. And that it's interesting to me to see the teams that really get into it every year and like have pre-made ideas about how to, you know, incorporate the, because they hand you, you know, an object and a line and a character, right? And so, so like those are interesting things to pre-make a script or an idea about. There was a guy and there were some guys in San Francisco who had obviously done that, but they made the roll of toilet paper, which was our thing. They made that the bad guy.
Oh,
and so it ended up being they had this buddy cop movie going on where they're chasing the bad guy roll of toilet paper, which I thought was pretty fantastic.
I am kind of in awe of people's creativity and being able to come up with stuff like that.
I mean, you know, step one, anthropomorphize everything, right?
Yeah, right. Thank you, Disney.
That's right.
Let me ask, with all these festivals and stuff in New Mexico, there doesn't seem to be a lot for just for animators. Is there, or am I?
No, I mean, I think there's not a specific animation festival here right now. I think there's a lot of short film festivals, which, you know, I think animation is best done in a short kind of format, especially if you're just operating by yourself. You know, you don't want to take on a. You don't want to take on a short film length, you know, 40-minute piece or whatever, but anybody can animate a 1 to 2 minute sequence and put it together. And most of the short films that I've, or the short film festivals here in New Mexico that I've seen have an animation format that I think is pretty good. I really like the, what is it? The 30-second film fest that,
yeah, the Lenzic Theater.
Yeah. I think that's a really great program, man. I think those, you know, especially today in the world of the internet, I watched, what's that Western, that famous Western, Once Upon a Time in the West, I watched the other day, and man, comparatively to the internet, it is so slow, and it's so good, too, because, you know, the first 5 minutes, you're waiting for that train to arrive, and it's just, like, it really made me slow down and appreciate what's, you know, what's happening now.
Right, yeah. So is there, do you think the, things like the 30-second film festival, are enough for animators to be able to get their stuff out there?
Yeah. I mean, you know, no, right. You know, I mean, there's obviously, always some room for, more, you know, I'm a big fan of more, and you know, I think there's enough talent in the state that we could pull together an animation festival and just have local things. But I've also noticed that from Denver to Socorro, you have this kind of, I don't know that it happens all over the Southwest, but definitely along the I-5 corridor or the I-25 corridor. Nobody believes anything good can come from their town. Mm-hmm. It's hard for local artists to get local. I mean, you know, what's the old saying? It's hard for people to be local and get famous for their work. But you can say you're a Santa Fe artist or a Taos artist and show anywhere all over the world, and everybody's happy to see you. But good luck getting a show in Taos or Santa Fe.
Yeah. Although, you know, there are pockets of the state that are really becoming pretty well known.
Yeah.
Roswell being one of them.
Yeah.
And Alan Trevor has his media program at ENMNU in Roswell. And also down in Las Cruces, those guys are starting to crank
stuff out. I think they're doing really good stuff, especially with that mocap studio they have going on there. And their commitment to technology while at the same time not being stuck to it, you know. They've got a lot of artistic freedom, and they're letting those kids just kind of run rampant with it, which you know, I think is awesome. I think it's a really good program.
What about the area of animation outside of the film realm? Visualizing scientific data, for instance, that sort of thing.
That's actually my second job, was working for Harvard Medical, doing medical animation for a little project that I'm not really proud of, but was I mean, the problem with medical animation is that your art director is a doctor who doesn't know the right technical terms to talk about, and so you need to have somebody who's able to kind of handle the middle part. And I think there's a lot of that kind of work available in the state. You know, we've got the lab between Sandia and Los Alamos and Northrop Grumman and those guys. I mean, they're around, and they're definitely, they have those kind of gigs available. It's just a matter of kind of cracking into that shell and letting them know that the kind of talent that they're looking for is available in the state. I mean, I think that's the number one thing we're running up against right now is, you know, most of the talent bases are on the East Coast, on the LA and New York, pretty much where you go to think about it. But, you know, we've got just as good talent here.
And that's actually something the new director of the film office recognizes the emerging media technologies. We have dedicated a whole new category on our new website, which isn't up yet, but will be by the end of the month, to emerging media technologies, and specifically looking at how we can put New Mexico animators to work in biological animation, scientific animations, education animations, building serious games, building apps, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think
it's the new thing.
Yeah, it really is. You know, we're really committed to that statement that film and TV and the internet are all kind of becoming one. Mm-hmm. And you can watch the distributors, they're all kind of fighting over it. And trying to decide how it's going to go, but there's no, I mean, it's all going to be wireless everything. And, especially once the, Sixth Sense device becomes an actual thing, you know, those guys are really pushing, interactive user experiences in the real world. I think UI technology is really where it's going to go.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break here, Dustin, and we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. Dustin Sweet is my guest, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. She's got to be somebody's baby. She must be somebody's baby. She's got to be somebody's baby. She's so fine. This is New Mexico Filmworks on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio, and I have in the studio with me Dustin Sweet, and we've been talking about animation and different aspects of being able to apply that in the scientific educational world, but he's also involved with his webisode, The Long Slide Back. Welcome back.
Thanks.
So let's talk a little bit about this webisode. How did you guys come up with the idea?
Long Slide Back is, how'd this go? About 15 years ago, I had a friend give me an idea for a fantasy series, and I decided that I wanted to do the kind of swords and sorcery route, and I wanted an explanation for why magic worked. And so I kind of worked on that for a couple years, and we did a couple music videos last year, and a little thing for Los Alamos Energy Conservation Network, and then it was my turn in the barrel to come up with something. And so I called up my friend Dave Merlino, and we kind of hashed together this idea of what this story was going to be. And it's basically about about these guys and how they kind of stop the robot empire from taking over the planet and kind of release nanotechnology into the world and just, you know, put it together like that. Basically decided we were going to shoot the first week of July and then, you know, in February, and then just we're like, okay, we have to have a script done by then. So kind of hustled on that and made it come together.
And have you shot several episodes and then started releasing them, or are you
we shot as a short film, and then through testing in the last 6 months, just decided that 38 minutes wasn't like an appropriate viewing time. It just didn't fit right.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back in and cut everything again down into webisodes, and just decided to let it go that way. I mean, the idea was to kind of show off the kinds of effects and work that we could do out of our studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we achieved that pretty well.
I think most of the folks that are doing webisodes out there, and I've been saying this is the third week I've been interviewing people that are doing them, and there's 7 or 8 of them out there, and that nobody is looking to make $1 million off of it. It's more like a demo reel kind of thing, being able to show what they're capable of. But there is a monetized aspect of it. Are you guys looking at that at all?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a way to get cash flowing in through the door, and I think it's kind of our, you know, once we got them made, it was kind of the next thing to do was mm-hmm. look and see how, you know, we spent X amount of time on this thing, it should see if we couldn't get it to pay us, you know. It seems mm-hmm. like the responsible businessman thing to do. So we can't get these licenses paid for at the very least. So we just kind of, you know, we're hustling that. We're using YouTube's monetization model, and we've got, you know, t-shirts for sale on the website or whatever, and we have that whole thing going. You know, in my mind, the right way to go about it was to just kind of show off not only the animation that we could do, but the kind of locations that we could shoot at. One of the impressive things to me was that we shot in the middle of the fire ban last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been planning on going up to Estes Park and other places around, you know, and instead we shot we shot the entire thing within 50 yards of a major roadway, which you'll never notice. And that was... that was exciting for me.
New Mexico, and that was up in the Taos area?
Yeah, just around the Enchanted Circle.
Yeah. That's one of the wonderful things about New Mexico, man. You can find any kind of location.
Yeah, there. I mean, it was – I lucked out because I grew up in Taos, you know, mm-hmm. so I kind of know what we have access to. And so, right. you know, when we were writing the script, we did that. We kind of had that in mind. And it just worked out really well.
That's Don Gray is our locations coordinator at the film office, and he is constantly telling people, you know, write to your assets, use what you have available to you. Don't write a script that takes place at an airport if you don't have access to an airport.
Right. You're paying out the nose for things you don't have.
Your animations are really wonderful. You have explosions, you have laser beams, you have all kinds of cool electronic equipment going on.
Yeah, we had something like 150 effect shots in this whole thing.
Yeah.
And so we finished principal the first week of July last year, and then we had like 2 or 3 pickup shots because Mansfield, my partner, is actually one of the main characters, so that I could go and do those pickup shots with just him, you know.
Right.
We finished effects in January, and then been just doing color timing and trying to get other stuff, you know, squared away while I had to re-edit it for mm-hmm. webisodes and mm-hmm. do that kind of stuff. And finally posted everything up online and got it all ready to distribute 2 days before it had been a year. So,
oh, wow.
That was good.
Yeah.
I didn't want to spend more than a year on it.
What kind of software do you use for your special effects?
We use the Adobe suites and mm-hmm. 3D Max. We, you know, 3D Max and Maya are slowly becoming one, but we really got started in Max and just prefer its interface. So,
and having those special effects takes a little bit more acting, I guess I'll say it that way.
You have to know that they're there, right? You have to assume that the guys who are putting it in later know what they're doing. So. I require a high level of make believe in my actors,
uh-huh.
And so once we got everybody together, we just started playing make believe and just, you know, we just played the whole time everybody was here, and I did a really good job of interacting between the characters and our cinematographer, this guy Peter Walker, who's really good at kind of adventure film photography. Mm-hmm. He shoots really fun adventure stuff, and he got me some really good footage to work with, and just having guys who could pretend like he interacts with this 3D model, and so we built one out of a cardboard box, and then just threw it at him, and then removed the box later. But we giving people the chance to interact with something, I thought really helped.
Do you use green screen at all?
We used a blue tarp to that whole first Jeep scene is the Jeep sitting in the parking lot outside of Studio Peligroso with somebody jumping up and down on the back.
Right.
And then we went and drove the canyon and shot out the side. I actually left the rear view mirror unmatted so that you could see the tarp. Go back and look for that. It's pretty great.
Okay, great.
otherwise it's seamless. We took a tarp and then pulled the bottom edge back so it was all the same color and then just comped it out.
Right. Well, it's a wonderful series. Tell people where they can find it.
You can check it out on longslideback.com. Just one word.
And where does the name come from?
The name comes from the idea that humanity reaches a kind of a pinnacle of nanotechnology and scientific goodness, and then it all kind of breaks down and they go back to a dark age.
Dustin is so optimistic.
Thanks.
All right. It's been great having you here in the studio. And just real quickly, you're recently a newlywed?
This is the second week I've been married. I'm taller and more agile now.
Okay. I'm sure she appreciates it. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Dirk. It's been a pleasure being here.
This is New Mexico Film Works. I have been speaking with Dustin Sweet, The Long Slide Back. You're listening to Talk 1260 KTRC Radio, and we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.